Good morning. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up, the World Health Organization now defines burnout as its own syndrome, separate from other mental health conditions. We'll look at how the WHO defines burnout and what employers and employees can do to help alleviate work-related burnout. But first, one way to re-energize is visiting a local theme park. Southern California's ground zero for the live attraction wars. We've got Universal Studios Hollywood, Knott's Berry Farm, and Magic Mountain. But the market leader is, of course, Disneyland. Tomorrow, the park opens its largest expansion since it opened. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge takes up 14 acres in the park's northwest corner. Several Frontierland attractions were removed for it, along with storage areas and administrative buildings. One of Disney's biggest challenges will be managing the massive numbers of people who want to see the new attraction in just its first few months. With us to talk about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is Hugo Martin. He's Los Angeles Times reporter, covers travel, airlines, and theme parks as part of his beat. Hugo, good to have you with us again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So were you out there yesterday to preview the whole area?
Yeah, I was there for the press event.
So describe it for us. What's it look like as you walk in?
So it looks like you're on the set of a Star Wars movie. I mean, the detail is pretty incredible. It's a new land, but it looks like it's been there for hundreds of years because they want to make it look authentic. Real-size buildings, the Millennium Falcon is there, and several, spaceships from all the Star Wars movies are there. They were inspired quite a bit by sort of Middle Eastern look. They wanted something that looked, sort of unique and out of this world. So it's a combination of, sci-fi and sort of Middle Eastern Turkish feel. But if you're a Star Wars fan, you're going to go nuts.
This is the biggest expansion in Disneyland's history. Now, can you compare the size of it to, say, California Adventure? How comparable in terms of the total acreage would this be?
So this is a 14-acre expansion, and as you said earlier, they had to tear down some existing buildings and take out a few attractions. Their most recent expansion was Cars Land down at California Adventure, the neighboring park. That's a little bit smaller. It seems pretty expansive just because of the way it's built. It's the walkways are wider and the buildings are taller just to give it sort of a more expansive look, also to get, foot traffic to move a little more smoothly through there.
How is Disney anticipating dealing with the customer demand? I've heard of 4-hour time limits, stuff like that. What's the plan for managing traffic?
Well, they've taken a pretty comprehensive look. I mean, as far as I can tell, and I've been covering this beat for about 10 years, this is the first time they've sort of taken a comprehensive look at dealing with crowding. And so there's a whole bunch of facets they looked at. One is easing foot traffic. And the way they've done that is to widen, footpaths into the land. They've gotten rid of, benches, and they've shrunk down some landscaping. Some trees had to be moved, some bushes, that sort of thing. Curbs. They've also banned wide strollers for children. They can't be over 51 inches wide. There was a smoking area. They got rid of that altogether because it was, on the pathway into the land. They've banned wagons that, families pull their kids around just to improve the flow. And as you've noted, for the first 3 weeks, you're going to have reservations to visit the land. And so that'll be handled, I think, with a wristband sort of system where if, say, you got a reservation for 8 o'clock Friday morning from 8 to noon, you have, say, a blue wristband, and you'll be allowed into the park during that hour, those 4 hours. And then when those 4 hours are up and it's time for people with the red wristbands, they start ushering you out and moving the next group in. It's really, they're really sort of playing it by ear because they don't know you know, how people will react. I mean, certainly there's going to be a huge demand for this land, and there's already a huge demand for Disneyland in general. So you add Star Wars land, and they've got something that, you know, it's sort of double the demand, and they're going to have to figure out how to make it work.
Just to clarify, because I wasn't sure if the 4 hours is everybody that's in the Star Wars attraction comes in at the same time, leaves at the same time. That's a little easier to deal with moving people out. If it was going to be more staggered hour by hour, that might be hard because, you know, you'd have to then get into how do you escort people out, you know, if you got individuals who don't want to go?
Well, even with the 4 hour window, you have to deal with people who are, say, I'm in line for the attraction and my 4 hours are up.
Do I
get out of line and miss it? Or, you know, I'm just ordering my food and now my time is up. You know, Disney people say they're going to be lenient with those kind of situations. So it's yet to be seen if things get really hectic and there's a lot of crowding. We're going to have to see how stringent they're going to be about these 4 hour limits.
We'll find out in a few minutes from Hugo what he thought of Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. He wrote that yesterday as part of the media preview of the Disneyland attraction, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which opens to the public tomorrow. If you have questions for our guests about the new Disneyland attraction, we're at 866-893-KPECC. 866-893-5722. Also with us, the president of International Theme Park Services, which consults to the theme park industry, Dennis Spiegel. Thank you, Dennis, for being with us.
Well, thank you, Larry. Appreciate you calling.
How does this fit into the theme park wars, particularly here in Southern California, where Universal in Hollywood has the Harry Potter attraction and Knott's is you know, trying to go back to its Berry Farm roots? How does this fit into that competition?
Well, there's no question we are in an armaments war. We're spending more money on capital in investment than we have in the history of the theme parks, which is about 65 years old. And there are two major areas, Southern California and Orlando, where the same parks compete. And what we're seeing is each is trying to outdo the other through technology. And we're at a point in our industry right now that we have technologies that weren't available 15, 20 years ago, and we can literally do things that just turn people upside down, both figuratively and
literally.
Right. And we can give them experiences that they've never seen before. And that's what Disney's doing. They set the bar for the industry. They always have since their inception in 1955. And the close second is Universal. They've done an amazing job of bringing us new entertainment forms, particularly the Harry Potter, as you pointed out. So the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is that whole area is going to be a phenomena for our industry. And we trend the industry here at my company, and we watch everybody in the industry. And there's no question that this product is going to bring us growth.
Double digit. Dennis, 7 years ago was when Disney purchased Lucasfilm, and including the Star Wars properties. Does it take that long to do the planning and everything? You know, 7 years to from the acquisition of the company to open up an area of Disneyland?
Well, it does. There was a lot on the table at that point in time as they purchased the Lucas properties, all the Star Wars memorabilia, et cetera. And to get it right, get it planned perfectly, to introduce it in the manner that people expect. I mean, there are a lot of Star Wars fans around the world, and if you get it wrong 1%, they will tell you. So it does take that long anymore, particularly, Larry, with the technologies. The technologies from 7 years ago when that was announced, and we've been watching the development of it here at our company, the technologies have changed so much that things that they were anticipating using back then are not even being implemented now because there's so much greater technology available. So it does take time.
We're talking with Dennis Spiegel. He's president of International Theme Park Services. His firm consults with theme parks around the world and also consults on other leisure properties. Hugo Martin of the LA Times, reporter who covers airlines, hospitality, and theme parks. We have questions for our guests about the brand new Disneyland attraction, which opens to the public tomorrow, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Dennis, I also wanted to ask you about the challenge that some of the parks have with these new attractions, like Harry Potter at Universal, like the Star Wars one at Disneyland. How do you keep from being a victim of one's own success? I would think that crowd management is really critical here, because if it gets overrun, if it becomes so impacted that the word of mouth is going to be harmed, and you could ultimately end up damaging the attraction.
Well, you have to be very careful, and I have to tell you, Larry, that Disney, as Hugo pointed out, has done an amazing job of introducing this new timed system to allow people to come in and then usher them out when their time is up. And they've been very cognizant of this. We've been watching them work on this now for over a year internally to get it right. And they don't have all the answers yet. And you do have to be careful. I think probably the best example to give you and your listeners is the Harry Potter introduction in Orlando in 2010. Once the people were in the park, once they paid admission, come into Universal, they waited 8 hours to get into the Harry Potter area to experience the rides, the retail, the food, the butterbeer, etc. So you have people that have such pent-up demand, have been waiting for this, they won't mind. That wait at Universal, incidentally, went on for 2 months.
That's incredible. How did they keep from having fist fights and riots with an eight-hour wait?
Well, they managed it well. As you know, we're a hospitable industry.
Ply them with drinks. I mean, that's...
Well, they did. I'm not sure about the alcohol content.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of butterbeer given out, I remember. I was down there for that opening. And the other thing that's, I think, just incredible, when Harry Potter opened in 2010, attendance went up 36%. We had never seen that kind of growth in a one-year attendance pattern ever in our industry. And that's why I said at the end, I believe we're going to see some large double-digit growth at Disney.
Well, it explains why at Universal Studios they tore down that amphitheater and put in the Harry Potter attraction, because that's sort of is a no-brainer. Dennis Spiegel with us, International Theme Park Services. Hugo Martin, LA Times. So you rode Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. What'd you think of the ride?
It's basically the biggest and most expensive video game you'll ever play. It's a simulator ride, which means you're in a seat or a room that gyrates up and down, sideways, and there's a surround screen in front of you that is coordinated with the movement, so it feels like you're flying and you're dipping and you're jumping over things. So it's an amazing technology. It's not completely new. You'll see other rides like the Simpsons rides at Universal and some of the others that use the same basic technology, but this one is a bit more advanced in that the riders get to control the vehicle in a way. I mean, so there are six seats in the what looks like the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, two pilots, two engineers, and two gunners, and you're set out on a mission to collect this mineral that they need for there's a backstory. You need this mineral, and so you're on a mission to go get it. The two people on the front are the pilots. You're flying around trying to catch up to this spaceship that has the minerals. The gunners have to shoot at the bad guys that are coming in trying to prevent you from doing this, and then the engineers have to shoot out these cables to try to, you know, attach to this shipment of minerals. And the funny thing about it is it's a video game in that the more of these crystals you acquire, the higher your point score is on the screen. But then they deduct the damage that you cause the Millennium Falcon. And you've got a score. The thing that I'm interested in is, you know, people are going to get on this and go, oh, I only scored 200. I'm going to get back on and do better next time. Next thing you know, you're in the line right after you just gotten out because you want to up your score. I think that's going to be a challenge for Disney because, you know, so many people are going to want to ride this that you might have to limit people. You might have to say, okay, one ride per visit or mm-hmm. something to that effect, or one ride every 4 hours.
Hugo Martin, do you sometimes have to pinch yourself? You get paid to go to theme parks and take the rides like this.
Yeah. No, I've been through them all, and
not a bad gig.
They're a lot of fun, and it's amazing how advanced they've become.
Hugo, before I let you go, just anything else to add that you thought was particularly notable, worked well, or maybe raised some questions for you about the new Star Wars area?
Well, the funny thing is they want you to feel like you're on an alien planet, down to the employees working there will speak to you as if, hey, Earthling, how are you? You know, oh, here we have beer. This is something that you and your planet people like to drink. The signs on the buildings are not in English. They're in this alien Arabish language. So you have to ask people, you know, what is in that building? Or you have to, there's also an app that they're supposed to give you for your smartphone that you could read it. The food is also, you know, not typical. You could order short ribs and they won't taste like short ribs you get here. And they've got some funky flavors and they've tried some, you know, combination of sweet and sour to make you feel like you're in another planet. This is not American food. This is not an American, you know, destination. It's another planet.
All right, Hugo, thanks so much. I'm sure it's going to be just a huge attraction for months to come. We're talking about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the new attraction at Disneyland, which opens to the public tomorrow. And our thanks to Dennis Spiegel of International Theme Park Services. Coming up on Air Talk, the World Health Organization has made it official. Burnout is an actual syndrome separate and apart from any other mental health challenge. We'll talk about what it is, what causes it, and more in just 1 minute.